Hello and welcome to the Rocky Valley Baptist Church Podcast. This is Pastor Jason and I just wanted to thank you for joining us today. We pray that this service blesses you in some way. If you'd like to watch a video of our service, they are available on Facebook and on YouTube. Just search for Rocky Valley Baptist Church in those locations. Again, we're glad you joined us. We pray that God blesses you and we hope to see you soon. God's been good to you this year. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, go ahead and clap enough for him. Man. It is only occasionally that we get to gather together in worship on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. And so with New Year's Eve being on a Sunday this year, it's a wonderful opportunity that we have. Because we gather, and with the new year that is ringing in tonight at midnight, that's right, the new year comes at midnight. For some of you who don't realize that, you can stay up and you can see it happen, or you can go to bed and wake up in the morning and it will have happened anyway, okay? But the new year rings in tonight at midnight. We celebrate it tomorrow. And with that, we always have this feeling, this buzz in the air at a new year. This is the time for resolutions, right? Everybody's heard of resolutions, or essentially promises that one makes to one's self, or maybe to those closest to you, that you're going to endeavor to do something in particular this year moving forward. So for many, it is a health goal. I'm going to do things more healthy in 2024. They run together after a while. I'm going to do things more healthy. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to do this better. No sugar, no fast food. I'm going to deny myself whatever it may be. For many, it is a financial goal. I'm going to save more money in 2024, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. For many, it's a goal to spend your time in a different way. I'm going to spend more time with my family. I'm going to spend more time at my job, less time at my job, whatever it may be. But for many, it'll be a spiritual endeavor. This year, I'm going to pray more regularly. I'm going to pray more fervently. Which might be my challenge to you, is not just to pray with more regularity, but more fervency, more passion, more meaning in your prayer life. I'm going to be more involved in church. Maybe I only make it to the church house once a month. I'm going to endeavor to be there three times a month this year. I go to church only on Sunday morning. I'm going to endeavor to be there for Wednesday night Bible study this year, whatever it may be. Many people will have these. This is a good time of year to look at these new beginnings. And whatever your goal, and I just let you know, a new beginning is not a bad idea. It's not a bad thing. It's in fact, setting new goals, as long as they are realistic, is a great idea. It's good to challenge yourself. It's good to put parameters out there. This morning, though, we look to the ultimate new beginning. The time when the Lord Jesus proclaims that he makes all things new. And we attempt to put into context how that applies to us in our lives today as we look at the great coronation of King Jesus that this earth is going to see upon his second coming. And so with all that in mind, I ask you to stand now if you're able in honor and reverence of the reading of the Holy Word of God from Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5 on this subject. New beginnings. And then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. Father, we pray that you use your word this morning to change us, Father God, not just to motivate us as if we're here at a motivational speech, but to change us at our very core, that we might recognize your sovereignty, your grace, your mercy, God, perhaps most importantly, your authority and power. Father, we thank you for the worship that we've enjoyed through song. And now as we worship you through your word, we pray that we would commune with you for a few moments, Father, all the way to the time where we would come to your table together, Father, for communion. Father, we love you. We pray you bind any devil, any demon, Father, any spirit or even any thought or distraction that might be with us. Would you remove it now, that for the next few moments we worship you and you alone, for you alone are worthy. For Jesus, it is in your saving, precious, healing name that we pray, as all of God's people said. Amen. You can be seated. We find ourselves in chapter 21. Chapter 21 of Revelation is a place where I believe with all of my heart, as believers, we ought to go quite often to Revelation chapter 21. It's what I call that dose of good news. Anybody ever need a little dose of good news in their life? Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know about you guys, but man, sometimes in the midst of everything that's going on around me, in the midst of everything that I see happening around me, in the midst of everything I see happening around the world and the way that people treat each other and the way that things happen and the words that are said, the deeds that are done, sometimes I need a reminder of a little good news. Amen? I need to remind myself a little bit that I'm not in my eternal resting place. I'm not in the place where I'm going to reside for eternity. I'm in the place that I'm passing through to get from this victory unto the next victory that Jesus has claimed for me. In Revelation chapter 21, sometimes we need to be reminded that there is coming a day when, according to verse 4, the tears will be wiped away. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. There will be no more death. Let me say that again. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. There will be no more death. Because my copy of God's word says that those are part of the old world. And here we see that Jesus is claiming that he's in an entirely new place. It's an entirely new place we're going to look at this morning. And I need to be reminded that one day all the tears will be cried out because they are of this cursed earth. I need to be reminded that there is coming a day that the Lord God will dwell among us. Now, I'm not saying be with us in spirit. I'm saying the word of God says that he'll be dwelling among us. He'll be right there among us. You know what it means to be among something? My best explanation is this. On a cold winter day, night, really. Well, day sometimes, but mostly at night. Sometimes on a cold winter night, I like to get among my blanket. You know what I mean? I like to crawl in my bed and get among my blanket where it's all around me. And then I like to get my other blanket and pull it up amongst that blanket. And I like to sit under there and try to figure out why on God's earth I need two blankets and we still have the ceiling fan on. I don't understand it. But if you turn the ceiling fan off, it gets hot. I don't know what happens. But I like to get among my, you see what I'm saying? When I'm among my blanket, it's all around me. You know what I mean? It surrounds me, it's in me, it's on me, it's through me, it's everywhere. And God's word says that there is coming a day where there will be no more sickness, no more pain, no more tears, no more death, and the Lord God will be dwelling among me, all around me, all through me, not in his spirit, but in his nature, in his essence, and in his presence. There I'll be. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes as I go through this world, I need to be reminded that that day is coming. And in chapter 21, John writes these words in verse 5. He says that he who sat on the throne has something to say. And then he who sat on the throne said, let's focus on that for a moment. As our first point we recognize is this, Jesus is the king of new beginnings. Jesus is the king of new beginnings. John says something of Jesus here. He says he's sitting on a throne. I don't know, but I think sometimes we need to be reminded that Jesus is sitting on a throne. Sometimes I think we fail to forget to remember to acknowledge that Jesus is sitting on a throne. Now, all of you in here are pretty smart. Who sits upon the throne? Very good. In this earth, who sits on thrones? What position do you have to sit on a throne? King, right? King, ruler, master, right? The king sits on the throne, right? And so Jesus is sitting on the throne. Jesus isn't in a tomb. Now, I know on Easter we celebrate that, but sometimes we don't remember that all year long. He ain't in a tomb no more. All right? He might have died. Well, he did die. And he was buried in a tomb, but he didn't stay there. He got up because death couldn't hold him. The grave wasn't there for his eternity. Right? He's not in that tomb. But you know where else he's not? He's not floating around in the sky. Right? In Acts chapter 1, my Bible teaches me that he ascended up to glory. But the fact of the matter remains that he didn't just float off to wait for the time when he's coming back. Jesus didn't float into some by and by waiting for the time when God says, go back. He's not floating around lost. He's not aimless. He's not wondering what time he's coming back. No, Jesus has a very real place where he is. He is seated on the throne. And that's because he is the king. Not he's going to be the king. Not he may become the king. Not one day he's going to become the king. No, no, no. Jesus is the king, and the king is on the throne. He is the sovereign. He is the Alpha and the Omega. There is not one thing that is going on in this world that Jesus is caught off guard by. There's not one thing that happens in your life that Jesus is not the king and the authority and the prince of peace over top of in your life. The Bible says that in Genesis chapter 1, God created the heaven and the earth. But Paul tells us in Colossians 1 that by Jesus all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through him and for him. And so what that tells me is all the way back in Genesis, when the recording of humanity begins, it says that God created the heavens and the earth. But my copy of God's word tells me that Jesus is the one that created everything. What I'm telling you is he's the one that spoke it into existence. He's the one that began it as we know it. He's the one that put it into play. The sinful fall of man didn't catch him off guard. I want to remind you of that. In Genesis, when the Bible says that man fell from grace by entering into sin, it wasn't like suddenly God in his triune nature looked at each other and said, well, what are we going to do now? They weren't looking at each other going, boy, we didn't see that coming. No, no, no. It was already known what the plan of redemption for mankind was going to be. It was that God himself was going to have to put on flesh, dwell among men, live a life that we couldn't live, die a death that we deserved, defeat a death that we couldn't defeat, and rise again in glory to sit on the throne until the time he comes to claim his kingdom forevermore. It was the plan from the beginning because no other substitution would have been sufficient to create us life from death. Psalm 21 says it this way. It says, my help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, and he who watches over Israel never sleeps nor slumbers. There is never a moment of trouble in this life that is going to throw Jesus off or catch him by surprise. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says he will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Can I say that again? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Church, we need to be reminded sometimes that the things of this earth are not beyond the hand of our Creator. There is nothing, can I say that? Nothing is a fancy English word derived from a Hebrew derivative developed into the Latin Greek Vulgate. Nothing means nothing. Whatever language you put it in. And I don't care how you say it, how you spell it. You can spell it right, you can spell it wrong. But when I say that nothing, that means not one single thing created under heaven, above heaven, in earth, no principality, no scheme of man, nothing catches Jesus off guard. Nothing throws him for a loop, and nothing is beyond the reach of our King Jesus. We find ourselves often wringing our hands and worrying when the simple fact is that Jesus is on the throne. And he never sleeps, and he never slumbers, and he never leaves you, and he never forsakes you. So whom shall I fear? It is imperative that I believe that we, as believers, understand that he works all things together for good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It means for the child of God, there is no reason to have a spirit of fear and timidity because the one who holds tomorrow holds us in his hand. You know, sometimes it pays to be in good with the boss man. Y'all get that, right? We've all had that one person at work that it seems like no matter what happens, they always draw the best assignment. They always get the best jobs because they're good with the boss man, right? They can mess up and they get a pat on the back anyway and say, well, just do it better next time, you know? Or that kid in school that it doesn't seem to matter what goes on or what happens, they're not going to get blamed for it. They're not going to get blamed. They could do it wrong, and everybody pat them on the back and say, well, it's okay. He meant to do it better. No matter what happens, they come out smelling like a rose, is what we used to say. Can I tell you something? As believers, we're in good with the boss man. We're in good with the boss man. That means we draw the good assignment. You know what that assignment is that the boss man gave us? Go and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them all that I have commanded. And then he said, you're not going by yourself, I'm going with you. Lo, I am with you always. Always is kind of like nothing. It's one of those words. It's the same in every language. It means always. There's never a time he's not with you, right? And so we drew a good assignment from the boss man. And the fact of the matter remains, as long as we endeavor to be on the assignment that the boss man gave us, we're in good shape because he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He never sleeps, he never slumbers. So whom shall we fear? Because the king of the universe is the king of these new beginnings. You see, we walk from victory unto victory because Jesus has fought every battle. Now listen, I'm not saying that as believers we have to stick our head in the sand and pretend that things are not going on around us. That would be ignorance. God doesn't call us into a spirit of ignorance. He calls us into a spirit of discernment. What I'm saying is as we look around, we got to make sure that we recognize that the king of the universe is in control. And we have faith in the king of the universe. So what that means is that it does not matter what's going on in the world around me. I have to trust that my Jesus has already conquered it. And I can faithfully walk through it. Right? I can faithfully walk through any endeavor that is before me. Jesus is the king of new beginnings. But my friends, my second point is this. Jesus is the maker of new beginnings. He's the king of new beginnings. But he's also the maker of new beginnings. John says, the one who sits on the throne, that's Jesus, says, behold, I make all things new. John says, the one who sits on the throne says, behold, I make all things new. I want you to notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, behold, things are becoming new. He doesn't say, behold, things are developing nicely the way that I anticipated they would develop, and they are going to become something new. No, he says, behold, I make all things new. That's a phrase that literally means from something I create something new to make it, right? You make something new from something that was. And he says, I am the one that makes it. I want you to think about that for a moment. He says, literally, look at what we see. Now, he's just described that he's in a place where he dwells among his people. There are no more sickness, no more tears, no more pain, no more death, for those things are of the former. And he says, I want you to look, John. I want you to look at this new heaven and this new earth. I want you to look at it. Take a look at it, because I made it. I made it. Anybody ever have a child come home from school with a craft? I love crafts. I really love it when my children come home with crafts and I don't have a clue what they are. And they go, look, Daddy, I made this. And I go, that's awesome. And then I ask Liette, what is it? I wait till they're out of the room. Until they get a little older, and then I just ask them, what is this? But when they're young, but my point is, they come in with this thing, right? And they say, I made it. Now, my children were not born to artistic parents. So I'm sure that some of your children come in and you go, man, that really is great. My children come in and we go, eh. I know you made it. You should have probably got the person beside you to make it for you. You'd have made a better grade. But whatever, we'll work on that with time. But my point is, they walk in, and where there was nothing, there is something. Right? Where there was nothing, and they say, I made it. It's the same thing that Jesus is saying to John. He's taking him up to this new heaven, and he says, behold, look. Look at all this. There's things missing here that you're used to seeing, John. There's no sickness, there's no death, there's no pain, there's no tears. I made it that way. Jesus says, I, the sovereign one, I made it that way. You see, if you're a believer, you need to recognize that something happened in your life that is a perfect example of what Jesus is talking about here. But instead of it being on a world-sized scale like Revelation 21:5, Jesus is speaking of here, it's no less impressive what happened to you in your life. John chapter 3 says, in order to be saved, you must be born again. It means you got to become something different than you were before. You don't remain the same. Now, yeah, from an earthly standpoint, you may carry the same name with you that you've been identified with since your mama gave you that name. But the fact of the matter is, if you're saved, you're born again. You're something different than you were before. You're not the same as you were. Luke 9:23 says, if we're to follow him, we got to die to ourselves daily. We have to lay down the old man every day, pick up the cross and follow him. John 11:25 says, when we do that, we find that he who believes in me, this is Jesus talking, he who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. So he's talking about the fact that for those who believe in Jesus, there is no earthly death because we've already died that earthly death when we were born again. So I mean, that old man already died. That perishable seed has already passed away. And so once you've done that, once you've surrendered that old man to Jesus and he's created in you a new transformative life that is something entirely different and you've been born again, you are born of an imperishable seed at that point. And so though you may earthly die, you don't die, you live. Why? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord in glory. And my friends, I don't know about you guys, but goodness, to think about the fact that when I got saved, I didn't just get a baptism certificate, I didn't just get a t-shirt, I didn't just get everybody hugging up on me and saying they was proud of me. I didn't get a Bible with my preacher's name in it. I didn't get, you know, any of these other things that I may have got. That ain't what I got when I got saved. I got an entire new creation that I became. The old man was gone and the new man had risen because Jesus is the maker of a new beginning. And that means all of those things that I was before are no more, because my Bible teaches me that all of those things that made me who I was before, Jesus did. He wadded them up like trash and he cast them as far as the east is from the west. They were scattered to the ends, not to ever be seen again, not to be brought up against me in court. Man, married in the house. Y'all going to amen this one? You already know where I'm going. You amen it before I said it. You know what's coming. If you're married in the house, you know what I'm saying. You get into I'm not going to call it a fight because we're Christians. We don't fight with our spouses. Get into a formative dispute with your spouse. And that formative dispute goes past what we call level one formative dispute. It dips all the way down to like DEFCON 3, okay? This is a real formative dispute with your spouse. Have you ever noticed that in the midst of a formative dispute with your spouse, they will remind you of things that you don't even remember you did a long time ago? So much so that sometimes, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag, get myself in trouble. Sometimes, because I know it happened so long ago, I'll pretend it wasn't me, as an old boyfriend done it. You know what I mean? And nope, wasn't me. And if it's far enough in the past, sometimes Leah'll go, maybe it wasn't you. The fact of the matter is, I don't know if I did it or not. I'm just riding with I didn't, right? Surely I didn't. You see where I'm going with this? On this earth, those things will be brought back up. When it comes to Jesus, when he made my beginning new, he says, all those things are former. They're part of my old man. They're not to be brought up again. When I stand before my God on judgment, he ain't going to look on me and see all those things that the old man did. You know, he's going to look on me and see? He's going to see Jesus on the cross. Huh? He's going to see Jesus live an obedient life in my place because he knew I couldn't do it. Jesus said, you can't live obedient. You can't live to the law. So my grace is sufficient to cover all of your sins. And Jesus said, I make a new beginning. I make something totally new, something totally perfect. So listen, this body, it ain't built to live in a world like this. This is an eternal world Jesus is talking about right here, where there is no more sickness and no more. This body is falling away and perishing. It's getting worse by the minute. We have to have surgeries to correct problems because our bodies deteriorate. But in glory, we have a body that lasts forever. And so Jesus says, I make all things new. He make you new. Not just the things around you, but you're new when you get there. The Bible teaches us that this salvation is a gift of God that is purely grace. By grace, through faith, we are saved, not of our own works, lest we would boast in it. Means when you got saved, it was because Jesus was so good that while you were a sinner and undeserving, he died for you anyway. He put his perfect life up for judgment that you wouldn't have to stand before God. So what does that mean when it comes to new beginnings, Brother Jason? This is a New Year's sermon you're preaching. Well, it means quite simply that for anything meaningful to change in your life, it's going to be a result of you trusting Jesus with whatever it is. There is no other way but Jesus that someone can be saved. And the truth is, there is no other way but Jesus that you can move from where you are to where you are going. And the good news is this, because the one who created everything don't leave you nor forsake you is king of everything, there is not one thing that you're looking to do in this new year that is beyond the reach of Jesus. There is not one thing you're looking to do that's beyond the help of Jesus. I can assure you, if he can set you free from the burden of sin that doomed you for hell, then setting you free from the chains that ensnare you on this earth ain't no problem for the king of the world. Whatever it is, if it separates you from his will, he will deliver you when you trust him. I don't care if it's addiction. An addiction can come in many forms. It can be addiction to substances. It can be addiction to relationships. It can be addiction to work. It can be addiction to your spouse. It can be anything that separates you from God. Any addiction that you hold on to and you put in that slot that God deserves and he deserves it all, that's an addiction of some form. And I don't care what your addiction is, God can deliver you from that. I don't care if it's slothfulness. Maybe you're so doggone lazy, you just won't do what God has called you to do. You won't do what he has enabled you to do. Can I tell you good news? God can deliver you from that. Maybe it's your wastefulness. Maybe it's your anger. You have an anger issue that you just can't let go of. Maybe it's lust. You like to look at things you know you shouldn't be looking at and do things you know you shouldn't be doing. God can deliver you from that. Maybe it's just a poor attitude that you have. Whatever it may be, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life to get beyond all of those things. And can I tell you something else? Until you trust Jesus with it, you may succeed for a moment. But only by his grace, mercy, and power will you ever be truly transformed. Jesus is the king of new beginnings. Jesus is the maker of new beginnings. And finally this morning, Jesus is the faithful and the true. And I know of new beginnings would have fit the pseudonym here. But he's not just faithful and true in new beginnings. He's faithful and true always. He is faithful and true always. How can we trust that Jesus will do what he said he will do? Because he has always done what he has said he would do. Look at the end of verse 5 with me. And he said to me, he said to John, write, for these words are true and faithful. I love George Strait. Old troubadour. Yeah. You know what he said one time? He said, baby, write this down. Take a little note to remind you in case you didn't know. Tell yourself I love you and I don't want you to go. Write this down. You know what he meant when he said that? You can count on it. Write it down. Keep a note. Remember it. Don't forget it. Put it in your Bible. Hang on to it. Put it in your brain. I wrote you a note that said, I'm going to do this. Jesus says to John, write. Write it down, John. record it in my word that I give to my people. For the remainder until I come again, they'll dwell on this word, and this word will be this: write, for it's true and faithful. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make all things new. Write it down, John. You can count on it, buddy. Take it to the bank. Put it in the note. We got it. Put it down. Do you realize that the thought that any one person would fulfill 8 of the Old Testament messianic prophecies as perfectly as Jesus fulfilled them? 8. The probability that any one person in human history could fulfill 8 messianic prophecies from the Old Testament perfectly would be 1 in 1 to the 51st power. That is 1 in 1 with 51 zeros at the end of it. 8. Jesus fulfilled 48 messianic prophecies perfectly with his birth, his life, his death, in his resurrection. 48. Perfectly. Do you realize that the odds of that happening would be 1 in 10 to the 157th power? So just to put that in perspective. 1 in a 10 with 157 zeros. Now, I don't know what that number is. Bunch. Science explained it this way. They said if you were to take 376 billion electrons. I don't know what an electron is. I'm not a scientist. But they said that all these billions of electrons, if you were to string them end to end, would go to the sun and back 138 times. So that many electrons, that's a bunch of electrons. Can we agree that's a bunch of electrons? The odds would be if you took all those electrons and you put them in one three-dimensional box and you reached in and you plucked out one particular electron out of all that. Now, I'll put it into a little perspective that we might understand a little better. How many people have ever seen the jar full of candy corn at fall festivals, where you try to guess how many candy corns is in it? Just imagine that jar. This is way less. But imagine you had to close your eyes, reach in that jar, and pick out one particular candy corn that had been marked a specific way. How would you be able to do that? Probably not, right? It would be like a 1 in a billion chance, right? The fact that Jesus could fulfill this. Statistics say this. I love this. Statistics say that the probability of doing anything at all reaches what they consider to be impossible at 1 to the 50th power. So 1 in 1 to the 50th power. 100 times that statistical probability, Jesus fulfilled 48 messianic prophecies perfectly. That tells us one of two things. Say, why are you teaching me all this science? Because I read it and I got to tell somebody. And my wife won't listen to me at night. So, but it tells us one of two things. Either Jesus is absolutely, positively, 100% false. Either there is no Jesus, and everything in here is baloney. It's all hogwash. It's all junk. It's all made up, because it'd be impossible for anybody to fulfill all that prophecy. So either it's all nothing, or it's all 100% absolute truth that Jesus is the Messiah. It has to be one or the other. There is no middle ground. All these people that say, well, there was a Jesus, but he wasn't the Messiah, King of Kings, like the Bible says that he was. He was just a prophet that walked on this earth. He was a good man that walked on this earth. He was just somebody that did good things. You know, the problem with that is not possible. He is either the Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, or he didn't exist. That's the only two options there are, because it wouldn't be possible for any man to have fulfilled everything that he fulfilled as perfectly as he fulfilled. And the thing is, history says that he was here. You can go to where they laid him. You can go to where he walked. You can see all of the annals of history that he existed, he did exist. So if he did exist, then he must be the Messiah that the Bible says that he is. You can take what he says to the bank because everything that he has ever said has been done perfectly. I don't care how good a friend you got. You don't have anybody you've ever met on this earth that you can say that about. You ain't never met nobody that has done every single thing that they said they were going to do perfectly like they said they were going to do it. I don't care how good they are. Jesus did. Always has. And he didn't just do everything he said to you. He did everything that he's ever said to all of humanity. And everything he ever said got recorded. Wrote down. He is the faithful and the true. So I want to challenge you to this as we enter into this new year. Whatever it is you're endeavoring to accomplish, recognize that Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the sovereign. He's over it all. Jesus is the one that makes those beginnings new. If you're going to do it, it's going to be because Jesus made it. Trust him. And Jesus is faithful and true. You can trust that when he says he'll never leave you nor forsake you, that means, you know, studies say, do you know how long the average resolution is still in play? Only 8% of resolutions will still be in play Valentine's Day. 6 weeks. Only 8% will still be in play come Valentine's Day. You know what that tells me? If you don't trust Jesus with it, you'll flop before Valentine's Day. Because 100% of what he has said has come true. 100% of what he has said he would do, he will do. So this year as you embark on this new beginning, trust that Jesus will guide your paths. Leave your will and your way with his. And my Bible teaches me that when my ways become his ways, then I receive the desires of my heart. Will you do that this year? And if you don't know him, maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus. Can I just tell you something? There is a place that is the opposite of what Jesus describes in Revelation chapter 21. It is a place of eternity. But the Bible doesn't say that it's a place where there are no more tears and no more pains and no more sorrows and no more death. It just says there's no more death because you can't die to get away from the eternal anguish that is the wailing and the gnashing of teeth of the eternal torment that is the other eternity. There's only two. There's either eternity in hell or there's eternity in the new heaven and new earth that Jesus has created. So if you haven't trusted him this morning as your Savior, will you let this year be your new beginning? Let this day, let this moment be the new beginning where you lay aside the old man and stand up new. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you make all things new. And Father, let us trust that because you are the King of Kings, there is nothing that's going to catch you off guard. We don't have to wring our hands. We don't have to worry. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to question. Father, we just have to move in faith that because you are the King of Kings, there is not one thing that's going to happen that you haven't already seen and you haven't already defeated because you fought every battle for us. And Jesus, as we move into this new year, let us understand that you are the maker of our new beginnings. That Father God, if we're going to change, if we're going to move, if we're going to do something different, we have to trust you with it. And Father, let us do these things with faith because you are faithful and true always. You've never said anything you didn't do. Nothing was ever prophesied about you that didn't come true. So Father, we can trust that every word of your word is true. Jesus, we love you. And Father, as we stand and worship corporately together one final time in this year, let us shout praises to you, Jesus, because you are good. good Father. Jesus, it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Please stand.
This is Pastor Jason. Again, I just wanted to say thank you for joining us on our podcast, and we pray that this service blessed you in some way. If you have any questions or any prayer requests, we urge you to reach out through our church Facebook page or also through our website at rockyvalleybaptist.org. We'd also like to remind you, for a video of the service, you can go to our Facebook page or our YouTube channel, where we will stream each and every week our service. Again, we are glad that you joined us on the podcast. We pray that you'll join us again. And until next time, may God bless you and keep you.